Behold the master stilled the storms of Galilee. But he chose the way that led to Calvary. They nailed his hands, they pierced his side, they spilt his blood the day he died. What an awful price was sacrificed for you. So don't say no unto his mighty call. Don't say no, just come and give him your all. Don't say no, his blood-stained footprints point the way. Jesus died for you, believe in him today. Well, when the Savior died, the sun refused its light, and the bright Judean day, it turned to night. But he purchased there for you and me salvation for eternity. What an awful price was sacrificed for you. So don't say no unto his mighty call. Don't say no, just come and give him your all. Don't say no, his blood-stained footprints point the way. Jesus died for you, believe in him today. Don't say no, his blood-stained footprints point the way. Jesus died for you, believe in him today. Yes, Jesus died for you, believe in him today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Lester. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to read only one verse today for my message. It is my favorite assurance verse in the Bible. Title of my message is God's Miraculous Gift with Assurance. And I want to talk to you from John chapter 5 for just a few minutes as we look at verse 24 together. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me and follow as I read verse 24. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Heavenly Father, help me today as we look at this very, very important passage from your word. Help us to realize that it came from the lips of Jesus himself. And oh, what a promise and what wonderful assurance you give us in this verse. Help us to look at it today and dissect it and be able to understand it, that we might claim the promise and enjoy the assurance. Now, Lord Jesus, fill me and speak to through me your word this morning. Thank you for our visitors and our guests. Thank you for our faithful people who are here week in and week out. Would you open their hearts to the Word of God? May we never get tired of hearing the grand old story of Jesus and how you loved us and gave yourself for us. And Lord, if there be someone here today that's unsaved, We're asking you to save their soul. If there be a person here today that's struggling with assurance of their salvation, may you settle it for them forever with this verse. And Father, for those that need to get saved and others that need to get right, others that need to make this their church home, others who need to come for believers' baptism, would you do your wonderful work in our hearts today? I pray that you'll save every unsaved person on this property this morning. Open our hearts to receive your word and help each of us make the decision you shall ask us to make for you. For it's in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. So that you can understand the context of this passage, in the previous verses, our Lord Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda and finds a man that has been lame for 38 years. Many years he had come to that pool hoping to step into the water when it was troubled, but he could never get in of his own accord. And Jesus, knowing that he had been lame for so long, looked at him and asked him, "Sir, wilt thou be made whole?" And the man simply said, "I have no man to help me." He was saying, "I'd like to be made whole, but nobody is available to help me." And Jesus said to that lame man, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the scripture says that immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. Now the thing I want to show you today is that Jesus had power over this lame man's infirmity. He had power so that he could speak a word and the man would be healed. And I want you to notice that he was not healed by process. It did not take a week or a month or a year for his healing. The Bible says when Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," immediately the man was healed and he took up his bed. And he walked. Now Jesus, by this miracle, was declaring once again to all who cared to look and listen that he is Messiah. He is the promised one. That he is God. God had given him all authority and power over life and over death. He could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. And thank God he had power to save the lost sinner. He wants all to know that he was and is God. He was and is the Savior. Just as he had authority and power to heal this man, he has also authority and power to save any sinner who will come to him in faith, believing that he died for their sins and was raised again from the dead. Though the Jews called him an impostor, and they accused him of blasphemy and breaking the Sabbath, God was trying to tell them that he was the Creator, he was the promised one, he was the Messiah, and the Savior had come. God has given Christ power over the Sabbath, just as he's given him power over life and death. He is the only one who has power over the sinful and lost condition of each of us. He alone can forgive our sins and save our soul. This brings me to this verse that is one of my very favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 24. And this is the same Jesus speaking. In the context showing that he had authority over sickness and death, he also has authority over sin. And he has power to save anyone who will come to him, trusting him as Savior. And in this verse, Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This verse is the very words of God with all the authority and the power of God behind him. Now I want you to notice this morning for our message the miracle gift that God offers to you and the assurance that he gives with it. The first thing I want to point out in my message this morning are the first two words of this passage. Verily, verily. Those words means truly, truly. Jesus is saying to us by saying verily, verily, truly, truly, wake up. This is truth twice emphasized. This is truth given by God. Don't miss it. This is life-changing truth. This is truth with hope for eternity in it. This is life-saving truth, life-changing truth, peace-giving truth. Verily, verily, truly, truly. This truth is so important and essential that our Lord is trying to get our attention. We've all heard the commercial that says, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. May I say to you, when Jesus speaks, we had better listen. And Jesus is trying to get our attention. Verily, verily, I'm saying something extremely important. I'm saying something that'll give you life and hope and forgiveness of sin. I'm saying something here Jesus wants us to know that will change our life and give us peace and assurance. We don't have to go through life struggling about where we'll spend eternity. We can know that we know that we know that we're saved. He's called for our attention by saying truly, truly, verily, verily. Then he says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here is the promise of salvation to everyone who wants it. Not just a select few, but for everyone that wants to be saved, Jesus is saying, give me your attention. Here's a promise of life everlasting. If you'll hear and believe, hear and believe. Jesus is saying to us this morning from this verse, as he said to the lame man, wilt thou be made whole? What kind of a person wants to go on in their sin and die in their sin and go to hell in their sin forever and ever and ever? Jesus is saying, listen to me, I've got hope for you. You don't have to die in your sin. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be saved and forgiven of all thy sins today? Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is ready to save you, and he's trying to get your attention to that fact. Verily, verily, truly, truly, give me your attention. Listen on purpose. God is not speaking to the world. He's speaking to you and to you and to you and to you individually this morning. Here's God's promise to you as a person. Secondly, I want you to notice how plainly and clearly the Lord Jesus declares the method God has chosen for the sinners to be saved. Notice it says, he that heareth and believeth on him that sent him. He that heareth and believeth. It is the responsibility of the individual to hear and believe it. It's your responsibility. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, she, whoever you are, if you'll hear the word of God and believe on him that sent Jesus. He said, you shall be saved. It's the responsibility of the individual to hear. Notice the emphasis put here by Jesus on hearing the gospel and believing that God did send his son to die for our sins in order that we might be saved. The emphasis is on hearing and believing. Now, in the deaf's case, they don't hear with their ear. They hear with their eyes. But they're just as responsible for the truth when they hear it with their eyes as we are when we hear it with our ears. And we're saved the same way by taking the truth we have heard and believing it. And that word believe means to depend on it. When we believe that Jesus died for our sins, it means that we're depending on his death and his resurrection as the complete payment for our sin debt. Our responsibility is to hear and believe. Hear and believe. These are the words of Jesus with the authority and the power of God behind them. The words of Jesus that said to the lame man, wilt thou be made whole? Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately he took up his bed and walked. Now he's saying to me and you, we've got a worse ailment, a worse infirmity than the lame man. We're sin sick. We're lost. We're condemned already. We're on our way to hell without God. Do you want to go to hell? Wilt thou be made whole? Then hear the truth and believe on him that sent me. Believe that he's the Savior. That's the words of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if these were the words of a mere man, they'd be much different. They'd say something like this, that one must keep the commandments to be saved. If these were the words of a mere man, they'd say, you've got to be baptized to be saved. If these were the words of just a man, they'd say, we've got to be members of certain religious groups to be saved. If it was the words of a mere man, it'd say something like, we've got to do certain penance and pay certain penance in order to be saved. But my dear friend, these are not the words of a mere man. These are the words of God. These are the words of Jesus. He who designed salvation, planned salvation, provided salvation, purchased salvation, and gives out salvation, he has said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The method God has chosen for us to be saved is our hearing the truth and believing it. Now, what truth? Hearing the truth that Jesus died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Oh, my dear friend, our hearing does not save us. Our hearing does not forgive our sins. It's Jesus that died on the cross that paid for our sins. And it's Jesus that saves us. But oh, my soul, we need to hear the truth so we'll know to whom we are to turn. We need to hear the truth so we know in whom is our salvation. Hear and believe. Then thirdly, I'm happy to tell you that the promise of Christ is that the lost sinner is instantly saved the moment that he believes the gospel and accepts Jesus Christ. He's instantly saved. You would be surprised how many people are taught in religion that their salvation only begins when they die. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what Jesus said. Now we've got a choice. We can take the words of man-made religion, or we can take the words of Jesus Christ. I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to believe His Bible. I'm not going to believe a mere man when I can believe the God-man. I'm not going to believe a person that has to get saved themselves when I can believe the Savior who loved me and gave Himself for me that I might be saved. And the promise of God is that the moment we're saved, the moment that we're saved, that we are instantly saved. Now notice the statement, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." It's talking about a person right now hearing the word of God and believing on Jesus Christ. Then notice the next word. Hath. Hath. Now, that's present tense. It's not something that's going to happen sometime in the future, but it's something that happens the very moment you hear and believe. The same time you hear the truth and accept it, believe it, believe upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you have everlasting life. It's present tense. And that means, my dear friends, our salvation does not begin only after we die. It begins the moment we accept Jesus as Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to go through this life not knowing whether I'm going to heaven or hell. I don't want to go through this life wondering when I stand before God, will it be heaven or hell? I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm a child of God. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to lay my head down on the pillow at night with assurance in my heart that heaven is my home if I never wake up on the morrow morning. And this is my assurance. The finished work of Jesus and the Word of God that says, "Verily, verily, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," right now, "everlasting life," eternal life. Oh, my soul. Well, that's not all of it. Notice the next statement. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That means never, never, never in the future. Now notice the next. But is passed, right now, present tense, from death unto life. Oh my, what a promise. What a gift of God. Not only salvation in eternity, but salvation we can have. Now we're the children of God. Now we're saved if we put our trust in Christ. Now our sins are forgiven. Now Jesus is our Savior and heaven is our home. Now we're children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Right now, when we hear and believe upon him that sent me. Just as the lame man was immediately healed when he heard and obeyed Jesus, the lost sinner is instantly saved the moment he hears and believes the gospel truth. The wonderful truth taught here is that the sinner's salvation, the gift of eternal life, begins the very moment he believes. There's not a lapse of an hour or a day or a week, but the very moment he accepts Christ, he is born again. False religion tells us that salvation begins only after a person dies and only if he passes the test at the judgment. However, Jesus refutes that heresy in this wonderful verse. Eternal life is a present gift. Just as condemnation is a present condition of all who have not accepted Christ. John 3:18 says that he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That is a present condition of every person here who's never been saved. It simply means God has already held court on you and judged you guilty, and you're sentenced to death in hell forever because you have not accepted Jesus Christ. But he says, when you hear the truth and believe, you shall not come into condemnation. Oh, God saves us immediately. And eternal life is a present gift for all who believe, just as condemnation is the present condition of all who have not believed. Notice, fourthly, notice the great value of this wonderful gift given to the lost sinner who hears and believes the gospel. The eternal value. It's eternal life. Eternal life. The only thing I know in this life that will not wear out, rust out, or break down is the salvation that is given to the believing sinner. From the moment we receive it, it's called eternal life, everlasting life. One cannot wear it out, one cannot use it up, neither can we lose it. We are saved by His power. We're kept by His power. The sinner's salvation is based on what Christ has done for us and not what we have done to save ourselves. If He has promised to keep us by His power, therefore we cannot lose it by our weakness. God has saved us, and the devil himself can undo what God has done for us. Christ, who paid our sin debt, has promised to keep us saved and to present us faultless before God. Jude verse 24 says, what a wonderful verse, listen. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He goes on talking about to Him be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Talking about Jesus. Thank God He not only saves us, He can keep us. That's the reason it's eternal life. It's not eternal life only if we make it to death. It's eternal life beginning the moment we accept Jesus. No matter how hard the devil tries, neither he nor his false teachers can change or undo what God has done for us at our salvation. For God has given to every saved person eternal life, everlasting life. And He states it so plainly, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. You either have it or you don't have it. You've trusted Jesus as Savior or you haven't. You've heard the gospel and believed, or you haven't believed. Jesus states it again in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, what a promise. It's eternal life. Now listen, the Bible plainly tells us that everlasting eternal life begins the moment we receive Jesus. And if eternal does not mean eternal, and if everlasting does not mean everlasting, then pray tell me what it does mean. Someone said, God is God. Why don't He say what He meant? He did. He did. Why don't you believe what He says? Paul states emphatically that nothing, even the devil and his angels, can't separate us from the love of God. Listen to Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. Then fifthly, the Lord Jesus gives to the believer a gracious revelation and shall not come into condemnation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That means because you're saved now, there will never, never, never be a time, any time in the future, when you'll stand condemned before God. Because you have been redeemed. Your sin has been paid for. You have been saved. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been born again. You have new life. You've passed from death unto life. And you never, never have to worry about your present condition again. Remember your present condition if you've never been saved? Condemned already. But he says, when you hear and believe, you have at that very moment eternal life and shall not come into condemnation. Oh, what a terrible thing it would be to have to live our life like some religions teach, that we're always trying to do, to add to have enough so that when we stand before God, we'll be saved. No, God says, I paid for it. I purchased it. All you can do is accept it or reject it. Accept it or reject it. Salvation is in Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. And may I say to you, if you believe that you have to do some things after you believe upon Christ to keep your salvation, then you're saying Christ didn't completely pay for it. And that's like spitting in the face of God. That's mocking God. The sinless and holy God who took our sins upon them and paid for them on the cross to give us eternal life is mocked by the very people he died to save when we think that he didn't do everything that needed to be done. And we've got to add some to it. Oh, my. What a revelation. We shall not come into condemnation. After hearing the gospel and believing we're promised what he has promised, he says we'll never, never, never come into condemnation. Paul said another way in Romans 8:1, said it to Christians. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh my, what a gift from God. What a gracious revelation. When we're saved, we don't ever have to worry about being judged and sent to hell. It's past. It's finished. It's paid for in Jesus Christ. You say, but what about me standing before God at the judgment? That's the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian. It takes place at a different time than the great white throne judgment, the judgment of the unsaved. The judgment of the Christian is not to see whether you get into heaven or not. That's settled by your accepting Christ now in this life. The judgment seat of Christ is to judge you to determine how you've lived your Christian life. And do you deserve reward or the loss of reward? Now that reward or Bible calls them crowns that we have an opportunity to give back to Jesus as a token of our love and appreciation. You say, oh, preacher, I don't want any crowns. I just want to get to heaven. You ungrateful, you selfish outfit. To accept God's love and not want to say thank you. To accept God's love and not want to show your love in return. To accept that marvelous gift and stroll through heaven like it's all about you. No, he died to save us in order that we might serve him and glorify him and honor him with our life. And the judgment seat of Christ is to determine whether you were faithful to serve him and live for him and obey him in your Christian life after you got saved. And if you have, you'll receive crowns. And Revelation 4, verse 10 says, when we stand before him, we'll take our crowns and lay them at His feet. Mm-hmm. You see, I can say, Jesus, I know how much You love me. All I have to do is look at the top of Calvary, where that old rugged cross stood, and I see Your love, where You died for my sins. Now, how can I prove I love You? By living for You. By serving You. By earning those crowns in my Christian life that I might lay at His feet. Learn this difference, the difference here. Religion gets this confused. Salvation is a free gift that's freely given to us when we accept Christ. Rewards are earned. They are different. You can be saved and have no rewards. You can be saved and have rewards. But you can't be unsaved and have rewards. You accept the gift of eternal life and you serve to earn the rewards that you might lay at His feet. And then let me conclude. The salvation of our Lord promises the believer a miraculous transformation. A miraculous transformation. Look at the verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but, here it is passed from death unto life. Here's the transformation. God would have us to know that when we get saved, God changes the eternal citizenship of the believer. See, right now without Christ, if you're unsaved, death is the country where every Christless soul lives. The person who does not know Christ as Savior lives a dying life. He experiences a living death. But he who believes in the Son of God passes over the empire of death to the empire of life everlasting. Then in Christ we have a life worth living here. And a future worth looking forward to in eternity. Dear soul, you were born in eternal death. Have you changed the place of your natural residence? Remember that to live in sin is to die in sin. And those who live and die shall die eternally in hell. To change your eternal residence, you must be born again. To pass from death unto life, you must be saved. You must hear the gospel and believe the gospel truth that Jesus died for your sins and was raised for your justification. When you've done this, you have the promise from the Savior. You shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Christ has provided the greatest gift that any person will ever know. It must be received personally by accepting Jesus as your own personal Savior. This morning you have heard, and now you must believe. I challenge you, I encourage you, I invite you, I beseech you, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Heavenly Father, that's our message. Thank you for this wonderful verse, for the hope it gives to the Christian, to the assurance it gives to every one of us.